I'm going to ask everyone who joined us if you could mute your phones and computers wherever you are, so you could hear us, but we would not hear the sound in your rooms, just like in the sanctuary. So we could begin. The story today is for the worship service, for the sermon, is found in the Gospel of Mark. In fact, the story is found in every Gospel. I'm going to ask Allison if you would read the story for us, verses 1 through 9, and then we will begin to explore it.
Okay. Now the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people might riot. Mm-hmm. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her."
Amen. Thank you, Allison. Thank you. As we see what is happening in the world today, people are so confused and in fear all around the globe. This is global pandemic, and I just want to mention that this virus is just a little repercussion of the much bigger virus that entered this world from the beginning. And that virus that entered, I call it sin. It cannot be stopped even by the immunity of the younger people. It affects everyone. And the problem with this virus also is that people got used to it. That for many people, to live in sin, it becomes a norm. They don't want to be separated from sin. And this virus not only can bring death, which is bringing death, but it also takes away from people the eternal life. And it blinds people so they would not see the way of escape from this virus, the way of healing. And that healing is in the blood of Jesus. That's the only vaccine, so to say, and the remedy for this bigger virus, sin. So, and we as believers, we must apply the blood of Jesus to our lives on a daily basis so we will have the immunity against sin. And that's why we are choosing the messages that will be lifting up Jesus and his love for humanity higher and higher, that we will be drawn closer to him on a daily basis and be strengthened through the time of crisis, and even at any time, whether there is a crisis in the world or not, so we could walk closely to Jesus. Today is one of the messages, that series of messages that we have prepared. They are part of the revival series, and today's message we called A Broken Vessel. Jesus already made his disciples know that he will be killed as they go to Jerusalem. And he arrived to Bethany. Bethany was 2 miles from Jerusalem. He is invited to the home of Simon the leper, whom Jesus healed. Simon was a Pharisee, as we know. And he made a feast for Jesus. During the feast, Mary comes. Everyone in Bethany knows who Mary is. She is a big sinner. So this is the same Mary called Magdala, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, whom Jesus raised. This is the same Mary from whom Jesus cast 7 demons. This is the same Mary that was caught in adultery, set up to be used as a bait to trap Jesus in John chapter 8. This is the same Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and learned. Same Mary who stood by the cross, followed to the tomb, first person to see the, be there at the resurrection, and the first person to see the risen Savior, and first to proclaim the risen Savior. This is Mary. So, this Mary, this big sinner, was the one who believed the words of Jesus and was fully aware of his near death. Now, a couple of questions that we need to ponder and to answer. One is, where is the anointing taking place? Take a look at verse 3. Where is the anointing taking place? It says in the Bible, while he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper. So the anointing of Jesus is taking place in the home of the Simon the leper. So what is the leprosy representing, standing in the Bible? What is the symbol of? You all know. Sin. Sin problem. So that's what it represents, the leprosy. And guess what? Sin is like a living debt. Person may be alive, but he is dying gradually. And what spiritual conclusion can we actually draw at this right here? What spiritual conclusion can we come to? We, as human race, we are sinners. All have sinned. All. We are, so to say, lepers. We're all affected by the sin, by the leprosy. Our planet is the home of the leper. It is a quarantined planet from the universe. And we're living on this planet. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 48, we could see that it is in the home of the leper that Jesus granted forgiveness to the sinner. In the home of the leper, Jesus grants the forgiveness to sinner. You see, every encounter of Jesus, from his birth to his death, had meaning. Nothing ever happened by accident in the life of Jesus. And my dear friends, if Jesus is in you, nothing will ever happen by accident in your life. I hope you're hearing it. So, let's take a look who is present at the feast. Jesus is present, the disciples, Mary, Simon the leper, and, of course, his guests. And in John chapter 12, verse 9, we also read, many came, many. They were not in the house, they were around the house. They probably were aware of what was going inside. Many came. So a lot of people present at this feast. And what this particular anointing meant for Jesus. In verse 8, we could read, "She has anointed my body beforehand for burial." That's what it meant for Jesus. Let's take a look what it meant for Mary, still in verse 8. "She has done what she could." She knew, she believed the words that he said, that he will be killed. What it meant for Simon? Well, we can find this in Luke chapter 7, verse 39. Luke chapter 7, verse 39. "Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him. That she is a sinner.'" Wow. And what it meant for the disciples, this anointing of Jesus. Well, in verse 4, we read in Mark 14, "But some were indignantly remarking to one another, 'Why has this perfume been wasted?'" It was waste for the disciples. And heavens are amazed how human family refused the gift to be uplifted by Christ's love. And they may say, like the disciples said, "Why this waste? Why this waste?" So the other question is to observe what this anointing meant for people who were present there. The Bible is silent about this. It's up to us to decide. And the question then will be risen, what this anointing meant or means for us, for you, my friends. What is the touching? Take a look at verse 3 in Mark chapter 14. Verse 3. "While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head." And in Luke chapter 7 and verse 38-39, let's revisit this again quickly. Luke 7 verse 38-39. "And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume." Did you know that woman was not allowed in the Hebrew culture to let her hair touch the ground? This was disgrace for the woman. Did you know that? This woman let her hair touch the ground and she was wiping her tears off his feet. Now when the Pharisee, of course, that invited him, saw this, he said, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of a person this woman is who is touching him. She is a sinner." Now, what is this touching Jesus by sinner represents here? Well, it simply says to us, and this is one big point here, that Jesus, please hear it, it simply means that Jesus is approachable. Wow. That's a good news for each one of us. No matter how big you sin, how big our sins are or not, if we're a big sinner or small sinner, Jesus is approachable. a sinful woman touching Jesus. What does it mean, touching Jesus, huh? What actually is very touching that this woman did actually mean to us and to everyone who is touching him? You remember the many stories in the Bible. Jesus came and touched the open coffin. He came and touched a leper. A woman with flow of blood came and touched the hem of his garment. And now this sinful woman touching Jesus, it simply shows us the transaction that is about to take place. Jesus is taking upon himself our sins to give us his righteousness. He is taking upon himself our death to give us his life. That's what this touching is. What happened when the alabaster box with costly ointment was broken? What happened? Well, in John 12, verse 3, it says to us that the house, the whole house was filled with the fragrance. Whose house was it? Oh, please. This was the house of the leper. Now, what does this breaking of the alabaster box with very costly perfume of pure nard represent? It represents Jesus Christ and his dying. And let me give you a little note here in my Bible that I have put next to this passage. As the alabaster box was broken, aroma filled the whole house. So Jesus Christ was to die. His body was to be broken, but he was to rise, and the fragrance of his love and his life was to fill the earth. Wow. Again, what does this aroma represent? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Open up your Bibles, please. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Let's see what this aroma represents. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. One and two. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So the aroma here is simply the love of Christ. That's what it represents. And who made the aroma to fill the house, my friends? Who did it? The woman, right? Now, what is the woman represents in the Bible? The symbol of what? Yes, yes, the church, the church. And whose house was it? Again, remember, whose house was it that woman made the aroma to fill the whole house? It was the house of the leper. It is the church that fills the house of the leper with the aroma, with the fragrance of Jesus, with the life and the love of Jesus. And Jesus said to his followers, "You are the light of the world." The light is plural. You is plural. Light is singular. When Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," the function of the light is to disperse the darkness. Correct? So, he said also that you are the salt of this world. The function of the salt is to preserve from rottening. So, here we have it. We've been told that we are the light and we are the salt. And today, anywhere you look, you could see that the world is groping in darkness. You could see that the world is rotting. You would agree with me on that. You have no way to deny it. So, what does it mean? If the world is in darkness, if the world is rotting, and we are the light and we are the salt, what does it mean? It simply means that the light is not giving the light, and the salt lost its saltiness. In other words, the light actually, when it loses its light, it becomes the part of the darkness. Oh, God have mercy on us. Let me give you a radical statement here. A radical statement. You may not like me for that, but I'll say it anyway. The condition of the world around us today is in direct proportion with the condition of the church. The condition of the world around us is in direct proportion with the condition of the church. But Jesus has remedy for this condition, my dear friends. Would you like to know the remedy? Well, here it comes. Open up the Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Still hold on to Mark 14. We didn't finish yet. Mark chapter 9. And let's read verse 49. This is the remedy. For everyone will be salted by fire. And if you turn with me to James chapter 1 now, James chapter 1, James chapter 1. And verses 2, 3, and 4. James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's what the salting of the fire by fire will result in. The trials always producing in us a people prepared for the coming of the Lord. We will be lacking nothing. In other words, the description of this kind of people, mature people. And I don't know if you ever heard Bill Liversidge presenting the seminar, Prescription for Stress. We just have finished the editing, and John is ready to mail to anyone who would like to order such a powerful series on the book of James. It is an eye-opening. I strongly recommend to anyone who would like to understand the book of James and how to cope and to deal and to be victorious over any stress. And this afternoon, Rod will be presenting his personal testimony, Rod and Mary, how they lost their only daughter and how they came out of it. You don't want to miss the testimony. Now, a couple more scriptures for you. First Peter. First Peter and chapter. First Peter chapter 1, I believe. Yeah. First Peter chapter 1 and let me see where this is hiding from me. Verses 5, 6, and 7. who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And one more is found, well, there are many passages. I'm going to give you just one more in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. While I'm giving you this, I want to just insert this, that if the church lost its saltiness, we must have this salt, and God will give us that saltiness. And we must be prepared by the knowledge what it will produce in us. We need not to be afraid. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 reads, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Well, there are many more passages, but we might come to another one or two at the end. So, my dear friends, God has remedy for his people. If we're losing the saltiness, if we don't give light, he has ways to restore it. Now, verse 4 in Mark 14, we're coming back to Mark, as she anointed the feet of Jesus. Verse 4, but some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? Why this waste? And Christ's sacrifice, he is an expensive perfume, gift offered to humanity, and many are rejecting. Many do not appreciate. And even we today may not fully appreciate the faith of Mary, that she believed that Jesus was about to die. Take a look at verse 8 and 9 again. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, whatever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. And according to Matthew chapter 26, you know that this gospel is, this story is written in every gospel. According to Matthew 26, that the feast at the Simon's home and the anointing of Jesus takes place pretty much at the same day or maximum 2 days. I am taking the middle, that by the time he arrives to the Bethany, between that time and the Passover, 2 days. It may not be the same day that he was at the Simon's home. It may be the following day, but it is from 0 to 2 days. Keep that in mind. 0 to 2 days between the anointing at the home of Simon the leper and the crucifixion of Jesus. And what insight, what connection this frame of time gives us to the anointing and crucifixion? My dear friends, as Jesus was at the Last Supper, that very aroma that was put on him, then at the trial before Caiaphas, that aroma that was still on him lingering, at the court of Pilate, before the soldiers as they were beating and mocking him. That aroma, his action of love, that symbol of that fragrance, was there to turn every sinner to God. Everyone either despised him, betrayed him, doubted him, forsaken him, or ridiculed him. But when he hanged on a cross, tempted three times to come down from the cross to save himself, you know, he could do it. He could save himself. But he could not, by coming down from the cross and saving himself, save us also at the same time. He had to make a choice, my dear friends. He had to make a choice. And the choice that he made should speak loudly to every human being. Loudly. Something very significant. Basically, it speaks to our hearts every time we look at the crucifixion, at his action. He never spoke in these words, but his actions speak louder than the words. And that's what actually Jesus tried to speak to this action. I choose to stay on the cross, even though I can come down. I choose to stay on the cross because I love you more than I love myself. That's the love of God. So, as he was hanging on a cross, being tempted three times to come down from the cross, could that be that that fragrance was still a reminder that the fragrance that was still on his head, on his hair, as the gentle breeze probably would come and go, would remind him of that one person, the love of the one person still remaining who would appreciate his sacrifice. And he stayed on the cross. Wow. That's why Jesus said in Mark 14:9 that whenever the gospel goes, this story of her will be told. Wow. And of the church that spills the fragrance of Christ will be spoken to the whole universe. And my dear friends, we are the part of that movement who was given this fragrance, the complete, the full flask of that fragrance, the knowledge of God himself. Therefore, my friends, we must appreciate the faith of Mary, one of the big reasons among others, many others, that kept Jesus on the cross to obtain redemption for us. Let me read you another note from my Bible. On the cross, the aroma of that fragrant oil was reminding Jesus the earnest of the love of Mary for forgiveness of sins that would be his from the redeemed ones forever. Jesus Christ today is craving for love from his children, just as parents looking for cognicity in child to love his parent. Just imagine when Satan was tempting Jesus on the cross. No one cares for what you do. It is a waste. That aroma held Jesus on the cross as a reminder of that one person who would appreciate his sacrifice. And as a symbol of woman is the church, what is the ramification here? Simply is this, that the faith in the church will be the cause to preserve life on this earth. That is the ramification, the faith in the church. When Jesus was raised, two groups of people came to the tomb. Among them was Peter and John, but the first person whom Jesus revealed himself was Mary, who had stronger faith and love for the Lord. And that Mary was the big sinner. And I hope each one of us today are among those who would have had the faith as Mary, that we appreciate, and we appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus. You see, when Jesus said to Mary in John 8, when she was about to be stoned, put to death for sin, neither do I condemn you, Mary discovered the price of her forgiveness that Jesus was about to pay soon. And she brought the very costly perfume, ointment, that was fitting to be used for kings, to express her gratitude. So when Mary brought it in, that perfume, that jar that was made out of rock, no one knew what was in the jar. No one knew. It is only when the jar was broken that those around in the house of the leper could sense it. I hope you're hearing it. It is only when the jar was broken that those in the house of the leper could sense what was in it. You don't want to miss the story in the afternoon, my friends. It fills the whole house. And 2 Corinthians again, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if I have the correct text, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And what is the treasure? Jesus Christ is our treasure. Wow. I'm going to leave you with a few questions, my friends, as we conclude. Have we discovered how costly it was for God to obtain for us salvation, redemption and salvation? Have we discovered it? The second question, how can we express our gratitude? Please write this down. Ponder on these questions. Have I discovered how costly it was for God to give me salvation? How can we express our gratitude to God? The next one. Do we have this treasure in earthen vessels? Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory, that fragrance. Do we have it in us? Did we spill the perfume for Jesus in deep appreciation? And the last statement I'm going to say before I read the last passage in the scripture, unless we are broken, there is no aroma in the house of the leper. Unless we are broken, there is no aroma in the house of the leper. And Romans chapter 8, open your Bibles, this will be the last verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18. It says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And my dear friends, the Lord never asks his children to endure any trial without assuring them that beyond the trial awaits a rich blessing. The Lord never asks his children to endure any trial without assuring them that beyond that trial awaits a rich blessing. So, my dear friends, let us keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This pandemic may too pass. The life may be again the same or may not be again the same. Whatever the result of this pandemic is, we know that when the Lord said that there will be pestilences just before His coming, we are to be awakened today, because through this pandemic, God is not the originator of this. This is the evil one. The devil has done that, using his agencies. But God is so gentle to us that He is using this to awaken His children gently. When a father comes to the room to wake up his boy, his child, from the sleep, he doesn't shout at him. A normal parent doesn't shout at children, right? They're gently trying to wake the child up. Get up, my child. It's time. That's what the Lord is trying to say to us today. Wake up, my child. It's time. God bless you as you keep coming to the cross on a daily basis, discovering how costly it was for God to give up His Son to save you and to adopt you as His son and His daughter. Express your gratitude to Him in any possible way you can. And by giving that we always receive, by giving, we will never run out of the things that we are giving. If you give the love to person, that fragrance, you will always have extra supply. Keep that in mind. Well, I'd like to close with prayer, and we will make an announcement after it. Let's bow our heads. Gracious, loving Father, thank You for Your Sabbath once again. Thank You for Your presence with us, Lord, and for Your word that, Father, it is a life-giving word. Give us grace to partake of it on a daily basis, to hear it and to act upon it, that will open the door for the Holy Spirit to bring the very life into us. Be with us through these hours of the Sabbath, Father. Be with Your children around the world. Thank You that You are awakening Your people gently. We plead with You, Father, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Your church. It's time. It's time to rise and to shine. For the glory of God is rising above us. The Lord is coming soon. Father, thank You for the precious promises. And Lord, be with each one of the precious children that are present at this service. You know their needs. Some may not feel well physically, emotionally. Whatever the case is, some may have fear. Lord, bring healing and comfort to them. Put Your peace in their heart and give them a holy boldness that our God is Almighty God. You are the God of the universe. And as Your children, Father, You told us so many times, fear not. You told us in Your word 365 times, once for every day. Thank You, Father, that in Your presence we can find rest, and in Your presence all fears are gone. Bless every one of us. Bring us together at 3 o'clock Pacific time to hear this powerful story. And we also bring to You this entire world, Father. Satan is snatching so many souls who did not hear the gospel, and he is making havoc in this world. Rebuke the devil, Lord. Rebuke this virus. Put it to end, Lord, and allow us more time to bring the gospel to this perishing world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my dear friends, in the afternoon, we will have Rod and Mary. They are part of our team presenting their story, which is so moving and heart-wrenching that you don't want to miss it. I'll just give you a quick nugget here that they have lost their only daughter in tragic accident. And you could understand what parents must go through and how the Lord was with them, how he brought them through this trial. And we might also have a brief session of prayer. If you have prayer requests, join us also. We will pray with you and for you. So, Allison, Lynn,
yes.
any announcement?
No, that should be it.